Hey, good morning, everyone. Hope you're all well. Let's start with the word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, help us not to allow our wealth, possessions, or relationships to take first place in our life. I choose today to place you at the center of all I am. Help me to lay down those things which impede my relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to introduce the video. From Mark 10, 17 to 34.
And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?"
"Look at these."
And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." And they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. And they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise."
Thank you. I'm going to read the devotion for today. "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" The man took two actions, ran up and knelt before he asked Jesus the question, showing his urgency in inquiring this most crucial and solemn question of life. His question was right to the point, but it did not mean that he could inherit eternal life. He had kept the commandments that Jesus put forward to him. He was no doubt a virtuous man. Jesus looked at him with love, yet it did not mean that he could inherit eternal life either. Surprising, isn't it? What did he lack? What is the concoction of eternal life? Jesus says, "Be my disciple and follow me. Let go of all your reliance that hinders you." And each person has different objects that they rely on. For that rich man, it was his possessions. At the end, he went away sadly. What about you? What do you rely on? What are the obstacles that hinder you from following Christ and inheriting eternal life? I'm going to read from Romans 9, 14 to 33. What shall we say then? There is no injustice with God, is there? May it never be. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I raised you up, to demonstrate my power in you, that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth. So then he has mercy on whom he desires, and he hardens whom he desires. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who resists his will? On the contrary, who are you, O man, who answers back to God? The thing molded will not say to the molder, why did you make me like this, will it? Or does not the potter have a right over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for common use? What if God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? And he did so in order that he might make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy, which he prepared beforehand for glory, even us, whom he also called, not from among Jews only, but also from among Gentiles. As he says also in Hosea, I will call those who are not my people, my people, and her who was not beloved, beloved. And it shall be that in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called sons of the living God. And Isaiah cries out concerning Israel, though the number of the sons of Israel be as the sand of the sea, it is the remnant that will be saved. For the Lord will execute his word upon the earth, thoroughly and quickly. And just as Isaiah foretold, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a posterity, we would have become as Sodom and would have resembled Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness attain righteousness, even the righteousness which is by faith? But Israel, pursuing law of righteousness, did not arrive at that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as though it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone, just as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. So I'm going to share a short time of devotion. You know, what was interesting watching that video, three things that I wouldn't have picked up just by reading the text. And obviously there's some interpretive things going on there as well. One was this rich man. Maybe there weren't many choices at the time, but based on what he was wearing, it didn't seem like he spent a lot of his money on his clothing. The second thing was he had this entourage of people literally carrying his wealth. They seemed like there were three or four people carrying a treasure box, a big bowl of something. And so he was literally carrying at least a portion of his wealth with him. And how foolish that could have seemed, especially in that time and age where they could be walking along a road and literally in one instance, robbers could come along and take everything and he would have nothing anyway. And the third is the way Jesus was looking at this person. And the Bible says he looked at him with love. The facial expression that we saw in the video was, it was definitely engaged. And I saw the look of concern that when Jesus, he loves us, and yet he sees hindrances in our lives, it concerns him. It concerns him. He wasn't detached emotionally from this person. Question is, what are we motivated by. And in this particular instance from the passage from Mark, this guy had a binary choice to follow Jesus and obtain the treasures of heaven, or to hold on to his wealth, which was hindering him from following Jesus. And ultimately, he walked away. He said, I'm not in for this. I'm going to take my wealth and move on. The cost is too great. Question for us is, what are we today, as of now, what are we motivated by? Because our motivations have a significant impact and shape our behaviors and shape our attitudes, shape how we do things. There can be many motivations, idols, apart from wealth. But for today, let's focus on that. So treasures in heaven versus treasures on earth. So let's just take those two and dissect a little bit. What are the key differences? Well, some of the differences, one, treasure in heaven is permanent. It's eternal. Treasures on earth are temporary. Now imagine if you could take a look, just take a look, a glimpse into heaven and the treasures that are there, where the moth and dust does not come and destroy, versus the treasure on earth that we saw in the video, a few people carrying these few treasures. One is extremely temporary, and one is eternal. And the treasures on earth had the impact of hindering this person from fully following God. When he was face to face, literally with Jesus, and had to make a choice to follow the path of discipleship versus holding on to what was near and dear to him, he couldn't make that jump. Whereas people who are motivated, their sole motivation is treasures in heaven. It's easy, it's natural to walk the path of discipleship and obedience. For material wealth, for some of us, that may be a big motivator. For some of us, it may be on the minor side. But I think if we're honest with ourselves, it is an incredibly powerful motivator. And it's not just for people who are out there earning money in the marketplace. It's for everyone. We've seen people stumble from the full-time ministers, full-time vocational ministers, to people in the marketplace, people in the government going into corruption, whatever the case may be. If we're focused so much on material wealth, it can compromise us from our values, from our lead us into corruption, lead us into ultimately stumbling of many. And could it be that right now, God is inviting you, God is inviting each of us to look deeply in ourselves, to think about how much are we motivated by our wealth on earth? You know, if there were an app that we could check to see what our treasures in heaven are, I think that'd be really cool. You know, we could look at it in the morning and throughout the day. But for those of us who are in investments, you know, whether in the stock market or these days, a lot of folks are in crypto as well. When your money is invested in those things, let's ask ourselves, how many times during the day do you check the stock market or the crypto market or whatever the case might be to see how your treasures on earth are doing, right? And how much does that motivate you? How much does that affect your emotions? I would ask and invite that the Holy Spirit open up our hearts so that we can see what those are, those motivators. We can bring them before God, submit them before God. Hold on to Jesus and let him be the primary motivator. that we check in all throughout our days on Jesus, with Jesus. Far, 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 far more than our whatever treasures on earth that our minds may be fixated on throughout our day. Now I'm going to invite our worship leader to come and lead us in a time of worship.
Jesus, be the center, be my source, be my life, Jesus.
Us with the prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for unity between the young and the old in our city. Give us eyes to see others as you would see them. Widen our arms to encompass those of a different generation and make our churches places that are truly intergenerational. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's move into a time of community prayer. First, for the folks who are struggling with cancer and chemotherapy, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's pray. Let's pray for folks who are suffering from illnesses and also need God's salvation. Let's pray for community and friends and family who are suffering from infirmities. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters in our community who are looking for jobs. Let's pray for Hong Kong, for the government, the wealth gap, that God will bring a revival for all the churches, for the different ministries, sports services, Shanti, YOM, Sons and Daughters, Stan Asia, Mother's Choice, Hong Kong Korean Church, for the various students, domestic helpers, and families in distress. Now let's pray for our wonderful church staff. Let's pray for our hospitality ministries, welcoming the barista. And let's pray that the church will be open soon so that we can get these things going again. Let's pray for our worship ministry led by P-Nate, our sound ministry led by Father Conrad, and the AV team led by Pastor Kenny. Let's pray for the house churches that are meeting today, for Chidi, First Street, Fontana, Hopewell, House to House, Kowloon, OPR, and Princeton. Close us in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to introspect, to come before you and hear your word, and an opportunity to respond to your invitation. As the song led us, Lord, throughout today and beyond, may you be the center of our lives, of our hearts, and our vision. And help us to live that kind of life every day, Lord, here on earth. And thank you that you have shown us the way to do that. May you be with us as we go forth today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. God bless you all. We'll see you at EMP tomorrow. Bye-bye.